AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. All of us awakened Saturday to the news that the U.S. and Israel had launched an attack against Iran. President Trump had told them this was coming if they didn't start playing ball. Well, they didn't play ball, and you know Donald Trump is not one to mince words. And so if he says he's going to do something, my experience with watching him is he does what he says he's going to do. And so we attacked Iran, and the attack was very successful. The reports that I read, 2,000 plus targets struck in 24 plus provinces. They hit the Iranian army bases, ballistic missile facilities, naval headquarters, Tomahawk missiles. They sunk 9 warships. I didn't know that until I looked it up today. And they killed 40 plus Iranian leaders, including the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, however you say his last name. It's the supreme leader, the religious leader there in Iran. And that is huge. That is earth-shattering that they did that. They got him along with those other leaders. And I was watching a clip from Patrick Bet David, who is he fled Iran some years ago, and he is a commentator, and he had something very, very insightful to say about the significance of taking out the Ayatollah.
I know you have some personal history here. You want to tell us how you're feeling?
That's Jesse Waters talking to him.
I mean, this is a very special day today, and I'll tell you why, because since 1979, when these guys took over, Iran's been chaotic for people that live there. 81% of the people there do not want the IRGC. I left Iran July 15th of 89, June 3rd of 89, Khomeini died. Not killed, died. I was in school at Gulbenkian. We're in the streets. I'm trying to find my parents. It was absolutely insane. Eventually, we did. 6 weeks later, we escaped, went to Germany. Fast forward from 89 till today. Now, the Supreme Leader Khamenei being taken out. This isn't like taking out the president or general of the army or even the prime minister or even the pope. You took out the number two to God in their religion. You took out the Supreme Leader. This is a statement to everybody. Brett Baer put out a post about the fact that they took out 40 of their leaders. Think about what that conversation looks like right now to say, listen, guys, you have a couple options. You can either work with us or you're next. Does anybody want his job? Does anybody want to be the Supreme Leader next? Because the target's on you. What do you guys want to do? So that conversation, I believe, is taking place right now. But the world just got safer today because of all the leaders that were taken on. And God willing, if the mission is done, the world's going to be a safer place.
Amen to that. And that's a guy that knows. He used to live there. He knows what it's like. You know, we've seen the videos. No doubt you've seen the videos of the Iranian women dancing in the streets, the people so happy. And it's such a contrast because you have people in our country, the people on the left. As one person posted in a meme, Iran only has two allies, the UN and the Democrat Party. And you have the Democrats, they're just against Trump. No matter what he does, they're against Trump. And this guy is saying, hey, you just took out this evil regime that's been killing people for decades. You took out their supreme leader. You've crippled the place. You took out 40 leaders. And so who wants to sign up to be a leader? It's not going to be good. So as he said, either you come to the table and negotiate your shutdown, or you're going to be next on the chopping block. Now, I've said for a long time, Islam doesn't, they don't know anything or don't respect anything other than strength. If you try and negotiate with them, that's a joke. And so they're like, oh, you guys are weak. All they understand is strength. And so you have to be strong if you're going to deal with an Islamic regime, especially a terrorist regime like that. Maybe you saw this post. I saw it from Pope Leo. He said this: I am following with deep concern what is happening in the Middle East and in Iran during this tumultuous time. Stability and peace are not achieved through mutual threats, nor through the use of weapons, which sow destruction, suffering, and death, but only through reasonable, sincere, and responsible dialogue. Well, that's true if you have reasonable, sincere, and responsible parties coming to the table. But you don't. You have these radicalized Muslims that are, they're just, you know, as Hamas said, we love death, their unwritten motto, we love death as much as you love life. How do you come to the table with somebody that is has that kind of mindset? We don't mind dying. We don't mind strapping bombs to our sons and sending them out into your midst. We're committed to this. And so you can't sit down with somebody like that. And all they respond to is strength. They don't respond to weakness. Now, all the Democrats, save one that I've found, are against Donald Trump, and so they're against anything he does, and so obviously they're against this. Sadly, but I don't think they would say this, but it seems like they're rooting for America to lose in this conflict. And I mean, how sickening is that? You hate a man so much that you would want the country to fail and the country to lose just so you can get at him. Now, I'll be honest with you, nobody would voice that, but if you can, you know, read between the lines, you would know that that is the case. Now, John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, he's like the lone voice of reason. And this is what Fetterman had to say after the attack on Iran.
This was one of the most evil people that ever lived. And after 37 years in Iran, he's been eliminated, you know, and I can't imagine why Democrat, Republican, everyone can't celebrate that, because tens of millions of people in Iran are absolutely celebrating that thing. And that's why I might be the only Democrat that would vote against the Iranian War Powers Bill, because that would be the kind of thing they would want to prohibit or block that from happening.
Yeah, so he was talking about the Supreme Leader being taken out in that attack on Saturday. That's huge. Everybody should rejoice over that. You know, it's just like when we got Maduro from Venezuela. Well, the Democrats were saying he's a terrible guy for a long time. They put a big bounty on his head. Then Trump goes out and gets him in an incredible show of strength and military prowess. And what do? Well, he shouldn't have done that. That's wrong, you know. And you know, it's like Tucker Carlson when he talked to Mike Huckabee. Well, I'm not here to defend Hamas, but then he kind of subtly defends Hamas because he keeps going after Israel. Israel wasn't the bad guy in their war with Hamas. Hamas started everything. Those guys are barbaric to the core. They're brutal and vicious and violent. The Hebrew word Hamas that we read about in the Old Testament is the word violence. And those people are aptly named because they are so violent. But it just goes with what I've said for a long time. You know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. What do you see with Islam? You say, well, there are a lot of peaceful Muslims in the world. Granted, there are a lot of peaceful Muslims in the world. According to AI, the latest number I got from AI was 2 billion. There are 2 billion Muslims in the world. And AI tries to downplay and say, well, you know, very few of them are radical. Well, only 10%. 10% is 200 million. 200 million radical Islamic people who want to destroy Israel, destroy America, go after the little Satan, go after the big Satan. Iran was the key player in that. And this supreme leader, this Ayatollah, who has overseen the murder of so many people, well, it's kind of like what they sang in The Wizard of Oz, ding dong, the witch is dead, witch old witch, the wicked witch. And they were singing and they were celebrating. You know, God's people celebrated when the Red Sea came upon the Egyptians. And you read about it in Exodus chapter 15. They have a pretty much a whole chapter dedicated to their song and their dance. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And so it was a great victory that the Lord brought about. Now, listen, I don't pretend to know everything about the geopolitical situation. I do know that God said in Genesis 12 that he will bless those who bless Israel. He will curse those who curse Israel. Those who say, well, he didn't say Israel. He said he made that promise to Abram. But Abram was going to be the father of a great nation. What nation? The nation of Israel. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 sons of Jacob. And Joseph is not included as a tribe. His two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, are included in that 12. Levi was not given an allotment because they were the ones that took care of the house of the Lord. And so we have that that nation and those people that God has chosen, God, the chosen people of God. They're in the land that we know as Israel, and doesn't mean they do everything right. They didn't do everything right in the Old Testament. God had to judge them. They went into captivity in 586 BC. When Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, and they were in Babylon for 70 years, as Jeremiah predicted during that time. But then they came back, and then they rebuilt. And so those are God's people, and God is not done with Israel, as many like to say. Well, you know, God only has one people, and it's the church, and all those who belong to Jesus Christ, they're the people of God, and Israel didn't get on board, so God is done with them. And this idea of replacement theology, that those that hold to replacement theology, which just basically says God's done with Israel, he just works through the church, they don't even like to say they believe in replacement theology, but that's basically what they do. Here's the thing. God is not done with Israel. Romans chapter 11 makes that clear. And after the Lord raptures the church out of this world, then the focus once again, God's focus once again, will be on Israel, and he will open their eyes to truth, and many, many, many Jews will come to see that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. They will turn to him. Read Revelation 7, the Lord seals 12,000 from each tribe of the 12 tribes. 144,000 Jewish evangelists will flood the earth preaching Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And there's going to be lots of people getting saved during the tribulation period, and the Jews are going to be leading the charge. So we're talking today on Real Truth for Today about Operation Epic Fury. The Israelis call it Operation Roaring Lion, and we are working with Israel to bring down an evil regime, and that's a good thing. It's a just thing to take out the murderer, just as a police officer and a police squad would come in to take out the murderer. We're doing that on a global scale in the country of Iran. And as Patrick Bet-David said, 81% of the people in Iran want to see that evil regime toppled. We're helping them. That's why they are thankful to President Trump. That's why they are dancing in the streets, because the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, is dead. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to read to you a familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms. Psalm 122, beginning in verse 6, the Bible tells us, pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. I don't know of any other nation or city, the city of Jerusalem, where we're commanded to pray for that city. God loves Jerusalem. It's the apple of his eye. That's where the Lord Jesus is going to set up his throne, in Jerusalem, the throne of his father David, as the scripture talks about. Messiah is going to sit on the throne of David. And we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As I said, when you support Israel, that doesn't mean you support and you're for every single thing they do. God is for Israel. They are his people that he chose, but that doesn't mean that he approves of everything that they do. You read in the Old Testament, he obviously didn't do that. They would move him to anger, and they would experience his chastisement for things that they did. But that doesn't change the fact that the Lord has made promises to Israel, and it's not so much that Israel has to toe the line or those promises will go away. God has placed his own credibility, his own integrity on those promises. He will bring those promises about. And as I've said before, why does the devil hate Israel? Why does he foment all this anti-Semitism and try and get people all together to hate Israel and wipe them out from the river to the sea? Well, it's not that he hates Israel per se. He hates God, and he wants to thwart God's promises. And if he can wipe out Israel, and if he can get the nations to band together to wipe out Israel, then God's promises come to naught, and God would not be a promise keeper. He'd be a promise breaker. And if he can get God to be a promise breaker, then God is no longer the holy, holy, holy God of the universe. He is no longer the almighty God of the universe. And so that is what is going on behind the scenes. You know, just like in the book of Job, you read what Job was experiencing, and then we get a picture behind the scenes of what was going on in the conversations between Almighty God and Satan. Job wasn't privy to any of that. You and I are privy to it as we're reading the book of Job. Well, I think that Patrick Bet-David had some great insights, and we have some more from him regarding what happened in taking out the Ayatollah, the supreme leader. And so let's tune in again to him.
How do the Iranian people feel about this?
Ecstatic, to say the least. They're dancing, they're parading, they're crying, they're emotional. You see the celebration amongst women. Women feel free that finally this cloud that they have over them, that they can't do anything, and don't put this on and don't put that on. I mean, this is a massive moment for them. They've been waiting for this for 47 years. And you have to realize, for 47 years, we've had a lot of different presidents. We've had a lot of different Iranian leaders that have tried to make this happen. But the one thing that's very different is the president. President made this happen. The Iranian people, I wouldn't be surprised if moving forward in the Iranian community, a lot of the people that couldn't stand the president because they were liberals or, oh my God, he's so this, he's so that. Watch how many Iranians who were Democrats could overnight become Republicans saying, I support this man here.
Well, that could happen because those people get it. They understand what's going on. And John Fetterman gets it, to his credit. And I don't understand why, you know, the Democrats, if you allow yourself to be so blinded by hate, it just poisons everything in your life. It's just horrific. And when you see the Iranian people celebrating and you're protesting, then you're on the side of the radical Islamists. You're on the side of the oppressor. How does that work? And when you hate Israel so much that you be quick to say you don't support Hamas, but you end up supporting Hamas, it's like you're supporting evil. I saw a post today. It's a little bit of a tangent, but I saw a post today by Abby Johnson, and she challenged people that are pro-abortionists. She said, hey, you're pro-abortion? Watch. I challenge you to watch an actual abortion taking place. Watch it on a sonogram. Watch to see how that baby tries to get away from those forceps. Watch to see how the doctor rips the baby into pieces. And tell me that that's health care. Tell me that you can support that. How could you possibly do that? I still remember something I saw or listened to on Focus on the Family. This is years and years and years ago. It was about a woman who worked in an abortion clinic, and the doctor was performing an abortion, and things were going wrong, and he was ripping out parts, and the woman was in distress and things like that. And she had a moment of clarity, and she just looked at him in horror, and she said, are we going to hell? Are we going to hell? She knew in that moment what they were doing was so evil. And you know, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as we pray and stand in the gap for the land that God wouldn't destroy it, as we pray for revival, we're praying that the blinders that people have on their eyes, that those would be lifted, that they would be able to see what is going on, and that they would be able to come to their senses, as the scripture says, having been held captive by the evil one to do the evil one's will. And so we need to pray for that. This is a spiritual battle. What's going on in America is a spiritual battle. God is using Donald Trump. There is no doubt. My friend Bob Lapine was in Texarkana last night. He did a sweetheart banquet for us, did a fabulous job. Bob's been a wonderful friend for the last 20 plus years, and he's the pastor of a church there in Little Rock, and Redeemer Community Church there in Little Rock. He's also the host that works with Alistair Begg with Truth for Today, and he was the co-host with Dennis Rainey for so many years. But for Family Life and Family Life Today, we were talking yesterday, and he said, and just back and forth, we were agreeing on this. Donald Trump, you can hate his guts if you want to. He is the most consequential president that we've ever seen. Perhaps you could make that case. He has done more in a little over a year than anyone could fathom. He has made such an impact, not only in America, but around the world. I mean, you talk about a heavyweight. He is a heavyweight. And our military is strong once again. I love Pete Hegseth. People don't, and I hear people dinging him on social media, and they talk about his past and, you know, his Christianity and what a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Can that not be applied to Pete Hegseth? Yes, it can. And so he makes no bones about the fact that he's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so I praise the Lord for him. But he is doing a great job as Secretary of War. No longer Secretary of Defense. We're Secretary of War. And Trump has made such an impact. He is so consequential. And people know that you don't mess around with him. And that is necessary. You know, it was Ronald Reagan that said you have peace through strength. You don't have peace through weakness. And so what the Pope said about, well, we just need to sit down and reasonably talk these things through. As I said, when you have people who are not reasonable and they love death as much as you love life, then all you can do with those kind of folks is be strong. And they understand strength. And they understand when they understand smash mouth. And that may not sound very kind and gentle and, you know, that kind of, what was it, George Bush, a kindler, gentler nation that he talked about having. Yeah, that doesn't really work. When you're talking about a police force, when you're talking about a military, that needs to be a lethal group. It needs to be a tough group. It can't be this wishy-washy group. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. We're so glad that he is. But God is also a God of justice. He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. You have to have a proper view of God. He is love. He is kindness. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. Yes, but he's also holy, 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 and he hates sin. And so we need to have that balance, and we need to realize as a nation, when it comes to our government has to have a sense of we are going to protect our citizens, we're going to protect our interests, and we are not going to be ruled by evil dictators. So Scott Jennings was on CNN. Scott Jennings is the one of the lone voices there of conservatism and sense, in my estimation. This is what he had to say concerning Donald Trump and the measures that he took with Operation Epic Fury.
It is going to have some impact on the economy of China, because that's where they get their oil from, Iran. And what we did in Venezuela, what we did in China, or what we did in Iran has as much to do with China, I think, as anything. I also want to say, may God rest the souls of those troops. But they died in a noble cause. And as Buddy said, 47 years, Americans are dead, the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. I totally disagree with you about the threat not being imminent. I spoke to senior, very senior administration officials yesterday. They believe that the Iranian regime was about to fire ballistic missiles, not at the United States, but into U.S. military bases and civilian targets. They were going to attack Israel. They are already attacking other Gulf states.
You can't make the case back then. Apparatus has assessed that there was not an imminent threat.
I know. My guess is I've spoken to higher-ranking officials than you. On the uranium enrichment, the United States offered them free, unlimited, lifetime, civilian-grade nuclear fuel. They said no. They had given us the runaround about their intentions on enriching uranium for military purposes. How long do you want to wait? Death to America, death to Israel. How long do you want to wait? We waited 47 years. We have crossed every red line. Every president says they want to do something about it. Only Donald Trump had the guts to do it. You said you're not shedding any tears for the regime, but you appear just not to like Donald Trump enough to be mad about it.
Yeah, well said, Scott Jennings. Now, he talked about Donald Trump was the first president to do something about it. This has been floating around on social media, on the X platform, a Rush Limbaugh quote. And I read it, and I said, immediately thought of the scripture verse in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abel, he being dead still speaks. So this was what Rush Limbaugh said, and it makes a lot of sense. Washington can't afford for Trump to succeed. If he does, the jig is up. If an outsider like Trump can fix messes that have been promised but failed to take care of for the past 30 years, then we the people will never vote establishment again, and that's why they are against him. That's why the rhinos are against him. That's why all the Democrats are against him. I mean, he talked about draining the swamp in his first administration, and I don't think he understood how deep the swamp is, how many tentacles the swamp has. But in this go-round, he has been working on draining the swamp and cutting all the money to USAID and the work that Elon Musk did. I mean, what did we see? We saw the outcry from the left of Doge. And hey, we're going to destroy Tesla dealerships and go after Tesla cars. Why? That doesn't make any sense at all. The guy is trying to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. That was what he was tapped to do. And you're against that. That is crazy. I saw a clip from Ilhan Omar, and she was talking about, they were asking her questions. I think she was on with Dana Bash or somebody like that. And they were asking her questions about the fraud in Minnesota, the Somali fraud. And she said, well, we as Somalis are taxpayers. We're upset about that. That's our money that they stole too. And see, she tries to paint herself as this, you know, I'm this great citizen and this isn't a Somali thing. Somalians are hurt by this too. And what the fraud was coming from, what, 89-90% Somalis? And most of the people arrested for the fraud were Somalis. I mean, you got to own it. You got to be honest about what is going on. And so, anyway, that's just what I saw when she was interviewed. I'm not a big fan of Ilhan Omar. I'd like to see her get investigated. And if she lied on her immigration, they need to deport her, as Nancy Mace has said. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, I would love to hear from you. And let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are taking your calls. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, love to hear from you. Wanted to continue with Scott Jennings because the question came to him about, you know, Donald Trump said he was going to bring peace, and he seems like he's the aggressor here. You know, people on the anti-Trump train say, look what this guy is doing. He's getting us in all these wars, and, you know, Tucker Carlson very concerned about all of that. I get it. That's a legit concern. We're praying for the protection of our troops and the brave soldiers that are there in the conflict. But here is how Scott Jennings answered that question about the peace that Trump promised.
He's the guy who's going to bring peace and not start wars.
Yeah, and he is bringing peace. We're already, Iran has been at war with us for 47 years. The central pillar of the regime is death to America. The other pillar is death to Israel, who is our ally. They have been at war with us. They have been killing American personnel and American soldiers for nearly 5 decades. This is not an attempt to start a war. This is an attempt to prevent further conflict. This is an attempt to get the largest state sponsor of terror off the field. This is an attempt to stabilize the Middle East. I don't view this, Ashley, as starting a war as much as ending the people who are the preeminent terror threat in the world. They're at war with everybody. They're at war with us, and they're at war with Western civilization.
This is a serious question, because we have seen regimes fall and countries not be stabilized. And so what's next?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I mean, what if we leave a country that for the next 47 years kills Americans, kills American personnel, funds terror around the world? That's what we have now. That's what we couldn't have it any worse now. What comes next?
We couldn't.
We actually don't know.
That the Iranian people rise up and take control of their country.
We don't know.
Absolutely. It is up to the Iranian people to make that decision.
So that was Scott Jennings on that panel. But Trump is doing, you know, what he believes is necessary, I would agree with him, to ensure peace, because you take out the bad guy that is killing so many people. And I think that many of us have a difficult time understanding, okay, when you talk about governments and you talk about armies and this one attacking that one and what have you, if you boil it down to, you bring it back down to, okay, if you have somebody living next door to you that is committing terrible, horrible crimes and killing people, you want the police to come in and take that guy out. Because if not, he's just going to continue to rape and murder and pillage and do all the terrible things he's doing. So justice says this needs to happen. And so Donald Trump is doing that and trying to make the world a safer place and better the situation for America on the worldwide stage. And so I think he's doing a great job with that. Our military is top notch. Israeli military is top notch. So, you know, we need, you can argue all this stuff and people will argue all this stuff, but we need to be praying as Christians. We need to be praying and we need to make sure that we're on the Lord's side. You know, the question from Moses, Exodus 32, when he came down off the mountain and they were worshiping the golden calf, that's a question that needs to be playing in our minds as we pray and seek the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side in this conflict? Where is the Lord's side? Is it with radical Islam? Is it with that kind of satanic ideology? Of course not. And so is it with those who are trying to eradicate that and free the captives, so to speak? Yes, the Lord's side would be to free the captives. That's why the Iranian people are dancing in the streets and celebrating, because as I said from The Wizard of Oz, ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Well, we're going to the phone lines. We have David on the line from Iowa. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple quick things. I was 19 years old when the Shah of Iran fled and the terrorists took over, and our hostages were there for 444 days. I remember it vividly, and I remember when Reagan got elected, things changed then, because peace through strength. Mm-hmm. And it sounds counterintuitive that we have to go and do a mission like we're doing right now to gain peace, but it's the only way. 47 years we've watched this regime torture and kill, and you want to negotiate them longer with them, yet you can't negotiate with crazy. And so I trust Donald Trump. I trust Marco Rubio. I trust Hegseth. I trust the men that we voted to be in charge. We have to trust them, that they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And my only thing is I tend to be a peacemaker. I want peace. And peace through strength is attainable, but we have to seek peace at the end of this. I see a lot of things on the social media that are very rubbing it in Iran's face, right, and the Muslim space. That's not right. That's not okay. That's not a godly victory. A godly victory is we take out evil. That's a godly victory.
Yeah, good point, David. Well, I think it's important to remember too, and as it relates to any conflict, even just interpersonal conflicts, you don't want to be a peacekeeper. You want to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. We have lots of people that are peacekeepers, and it's just like we're going to appease, you know, Neville Chamberlain with Hitler. You appease because you want to keep peace. Well, that doesn't work. A peacemaker is going to do some things that can be aggressive because they want to have true peace. And so to be a peacemaker, that's what we're supposed to be. You have to confront evil. And just like in a interpersonal relationship, a husband and wife relationship, I see this often where a woman is a peacekeeper, so she's not going to confront her husband on things that he's doing that are hurting her or hurting the family, because you just sweep it under the rug. You want to keep the peace. Don't do that. You want to make peace, not keep peace. So I appreciate the call, David. It's a good word. And we do need to stay humble, but rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And we have to ask ourselves, this is for all of us, am I on the side of the people that are the Iranian people that are affected by all that's going on? And when I see them celebrating, am I really upset with what Donald Trump did when they are liberated and celebrating and dancing? Something is wrong if I am against the man that brought that about for them. And that action that brought that about for them. So I appreciate the call, David. We have Kelly on the line from Arkansas. Kelly, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
You know, I'm really ashamed of the Democrats coming out against what the president did. I am a Democrat, and I believe that there's still a lot of good Democrats out there that agree with the president, and we're happy for those people. He did the right thing. Why can they not get their leadership to stand up for what is right instead of just being negative and against the president? I don't agree with the president 100%, but what he did was great.
Yep.
And I'll just let you keep going, brother.
Well, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that. Yeah, as many have pointed out, you know, the Democrats, with their party leadership, they're against Trump no matter what he says, no matter what he does. They're against Trump. And so when I was listening to a clip this morning, I think it was from Bill O'Reilly, and he said, you know, Trump was masterful in the State of the Union because he put the Democrats in a trap. You know, if you believe that your job is first and foremost for the American people and not for illegal immigrants, stand up and let you know your voice be heard, and you know, stand up to that, to say yes, that's right, that's what I believe. And they wouldn't stand. That is huge, because it's like, wait a minute, why would I vote for somebody who's supposed to be representing my interests? And that person says, by their refusal to stand, I'm not here to support Americans above illegal aliens. That makes absolutely no sense at all. And so, you know, people can get so blinded by hate, and we see it with Donald Trump, but we see it in our own lives. If we're not careful, we can get bitter at people to the point where we hate this person, and then you can't see anything but negative about them. And what happens, and bring it back down to the relationship between a husband and wife. So many marriages, They go south because of bitterness. And once bitterness sets in, you know, every hurt turns into anger. And anger, when you let the sun go down on your anger, it becomes resentment. And then it goes to bitterness. And once bitterness, it's just a coldness in the home. And everything, as you look at your spouse, you just see a negative with them because you have this bitter feeling toward them. That's what lots of people, millions and millions and millions of people have with Donald Trump. They just hate the guy. And so no matter what he says, no matter what he does, they're against it. And that's a terrible way to live. I had a friend of mine, and I told him, I said, early on, he was just posting time and time again on Facebook about against Trump, against Trump, against Trump. I just told him, I said, this is not healthy for you. You don't like the guy, but I mean, it just had become an obsession, and it wasn't healthy. He had a major health issue as a result of that, and so you got to let that stuff go. Hey, turn them over to the Lord. As June Hunt said in the program we did Friday, you let them off your hook, you put them on God's hook. You remember Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we turn those people that we think have done us wrong, we turn them over to the Lord, and we don't let that stuff foul and fester in our lives and in our hearts. So I appreciate the call, Kelly. We have Dick on the line from North Carolina. Dick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I agree with everything you and the previous two callers have said. It's not that I'm opposed to this action or opposed to the president. I'm opposed to some verbiage, which may seem picayune to some people, but Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution says the president is only going to be the commander-in-chief unless and until Congress declares war. And that's in Article 1, Section 8. I don't understand even the president himself referring to himself as the commander-in-chief at this time. And it may seem like a side issue, and it is in a sense. But I feel strongly that people who have taken the oath to uphold the Constitution should read it and understand it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point, Dick. You may remember, if you were listening the day that Bishop Jackson was on, you know, he talked about he got his law degree from Harvard, and he said, we never even read the Constitution. They just assumed that everybody had read it, and so we didn't read it. And, you know, as lawyers, you're taking things back to the law and back to the Constitution. And he said, I would have thought that would have been paramount to getting a law degree, is that you study the Constitution of the United States. And so probably most of our listeners, I would include myself in this, are not as steeped in the Constitution as we need to be. But you bring up a good challenge for us to learn what those powers are that the Constitution provides the president. And, you know, lawyers go back and forth and politicians go back and forth. Can he do this? Can he not do that? And those kinds of things. So I appreciate it, Dick. Thank you for that comment. Well, let me just encourage you as we close out today. Let me encourage you to pray. And when I say encourage you, I'm talking to myself, because I think it was David Martin Lloyd-Jones that said that prayer is the hardest thing to do in the Christian life. And the reason it's so hard to do is because there's power in prayer, and the devil fights us from praying. Listen, we can pray for me and mine. That's good. That's fine. God wants us to do that. But there is the prayers, the stand in the gap prayers. And we are going to stand in the gap for the land. We're going to pray for our leaders, and we're going to pray for our military, and we're going to pray for these situations around the world. We're going to pray for God's will to be done. We're going to pray for justice to triumph, for evil to be defeated, for God to be glorified, and for God's hedge of protection on the innocent people there in Iran, the innocent people in Israel, those places that are getting bombed. You have lots of casualties that come in these kinds of conflicts, collateral damage. And so we want to pray God's protection on those people. And so thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'll be with you again tomorrow, Lord willing. So go out today shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray for God's will to be done. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.